The coat. I was at a different time, and I was just observing when I went. I was invited to go, just observing. It seemed to me that people weren't taking it serious. Like they were there, but they didn't realize why they were there. And I had observed that just walking around during the day, and then. We were deciding whether we was going to leave and go to the other Sukkot up in Boca Chica. And before I left, what's the bishop's name?
Prophet Jones.
Jones. He asked me if I'd speak for him the next day. So I told him, sure, let's just go get a room. We'll stay and come and do the service the next morning. And so on my way, I asked God, you know, what am I going to say? I don't know none of these folks here. But I know what I was feeling, like they were doing an event. They never knew how important it is to have this meeting with God in the tent, this encounter. Let God do what He wants to do. We're supposed to come and cast all our cares on Him because He cares for us. And literally we're supposed to press our face against the tent. And what I saw happening was folks just camping. If Sukkot ever becomes just a camping trip, we're missing it.
That's right.
This has to be life-changing. It has to be impactful. Because not only are you taking the time to put up your tent, gather the stuff together, and it takes stuff, you know, you got to get gear together and groceries, and you got to cook, and you got to clean, and it takes all that stuff. But if that's all it is, then it's just, we just had a week of camping and a work day. But if we realize that He's here to meet us, He's here to Sukkot with us, to touch our lives, not just for Him to, so we can sense that there's a presence there. We can sense His presence everywhere we go. But He's here to do something. He's here to change lives. He's here to make an impact in us that is so different. And we should leave from this Sukkot different than when we came.
Amen.
It should make a difference in our life, and that's what we desire. And it's something that we need in our lives. And so when you look up the word et, the Aleph Tav, take some time to look at the deep meaning of what it means. And you'll see that He's telling us when He's there, you should respond. And the way you respond, you just put your, when you get in your tent tonight, I know it might sound funny, but just put your cheek against the tent like that. Because that's what He's telling you to do. He's using the face, and He's using that, you know, that sensitive part of our face. You know, you put your face against the baby or your husband or your wife, and it's, you know, you're showing that you're sincere, and you're enjoying the whole touch from each other. Well, God wants to, you know, we want Him to touch us, but you ever thought about He wants you to touch Him? That's what Sukkot's for. You know, we need a touch. We always need a touch. We always want to touch. But what about God having a reciprocal response from us? We want to reach out and touch Him. We want to put our face against the tent. We really want Him to know that we're so glad He's our Father.
Amen.
We're so glad that He sent His Son. And I want to humble myself to put my face against the tent and say, God, thank you for being so good to me. So there's stuff happening even while you're playing and you're throwing the bean bags and whatever that's called.
Cornhole,
yeah. Building fires or cooking breakfast. You know, we need to realize that there's stuff happening.
Right.
That God is he's available for us. So I'm going to ask you tonight, when you go in your tent, as silly as it may seem to you, just push yourself face against the tent and say, God, I thank you. And I do want to touch. I do want to make myself available to reach out and touch you, because we always want Him to touch
right.
us. But what about touching Him? You know that God is sensitive?
Yes.
You're sensitive? He's sensitive. The reason you're sensitive is He made you that way. You're in his image and likeness. He's sensitive. He feels. The Bible says we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. So he's telling us about himself. And so we need to just take that time. And if you don't have a tent set up, crush your face against somebody else's tent. You got this big tent right here. So if I come out in the morning and I see all of you under this tent with your face against it, I ain't even going to bother. I'm saying, touch him, Lord. You touch him. You won't shock nobody because it's biblically sound. Fresh your face against the tent. That's what he's telling us to do. And all that's in right there. Some people say, well, you know, I don't see that when I read my Bible. You have to just read it a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Press one or two buttons, and all of a sudden, the page opens up. And, you know, it would be nice if we could just get our regular Bible and then you just start scrolling and touching. It would be nice. But they have those Bibles on your apps now, mm-hmm. where you can kind of navigate through them. But who's going to press your face against the tent?
Hallelujah.
Now that I've asked you to do it.
Yes.
And I was deep. Now, the word sort of went out in Percy Quinn as a rebuke, but I didn't mean the rebuke. And I didn't say it harshly at all. I brought a text from the book of Job, which makes it stick. Because who brings a text from Job for Sukkot? That's the questions that got asked. When I said, open your Bibles to Job. Brother Jared said, boy, I want to hear this. If anybody pull a text from Job for Sukkot, they must know something. I could have pulled it from anywhere. Because Ed is all over the place, right? But I just so happened to be reading that morning in the book of Job, and I come across, I said, so it doesn't matter where it's from. You just, because he's everywhere. I could pull any verse, and I could show you how he's telling you. Get close to me. You know how you hug your pillow sometimes? When you're about to take your real good snooze, you get your face right on it. Do that to your tent tonight.
It's reminding me of a verse.
But if you return to the Almighty, you are built up. If you remove unrighteousness far from your tent, mm-hmm. That was my text.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
Job 22:23.
So we have to remove unrighteousness from the tent. There's no doubt. Because when it goes up, and the word, you don't just read the word. It goes out as a rebuke. But you have, there's no intent to lash people. But when you see folks, you know, not coming to the tent like this. I appreciate everybody who takes time to break away. But what I saw was there'd be four or five people in the tent. And the rest would be out just doing their thing, cooking their meals. And there was no togetherness. And I don't know if they heard me. They was in the tent while we were preaching. But it was upsetting to the bishop there that was conducting everything because he spends a lot of time trying to put it all together. Now that the pastor had died, it was different. And there was just some division there that God wanted to heal. And I still to this day don't know if it happened. But there's folks that really heard it, received it, and are doing their best to try. So remember, when we're having Sukkot, other people are having Sukkot. And they got real struggles and real issues. And they're struggling with understanding this. I don't know if, I guess camping kind of lends to Sukkot this fun time. And so you stick with the fun time definition and you lose the seriousness of it. If this all this becomes to us, we might as well quit now. It's got to be the seriousness of it. That's why we should not ever give less response to the time of worship as we do to the time of breakfast. They should equally flow, the time of lunch. And so when the dinner bell rung at Brother Robin's tent, everybody came. But when the church bell shofar blows, not everybody came. And I'm observing, right? I'm just, you know, like, okay, that's not right. And so the issue is that their strong leader they had was gone, and nobody knows how to say that. Nobody knows how to tell folks, you can't do that. And it's not my spot because I was visiting. I gave what God allowed me to give, but we're not going to do that here ever.
Amen.
We're not doing this. We're not putting all this up and working hard to get all this together to ever get to that spot. We're gonna protect what God authored. We didn't author this.
That's right.
Amen.
Nor do we have the rights to change it to something else. We're not gonna change it to some camping trip, some outing, and that's all it is building fires and you know, fixing our tent, and that's it. We're gonna make sure, because the moment we exclude the worship,
that's it.
We exclude the word going forth to bring the health and healing. We got to hear this stuff.
Yes.
This stuff being talked about in Sukkot, we don't normally get to hear. You know, we're busy staying on track with our where we're at, and so here you can come and you can share the word of God. And we need the word of God. We need everything that was said. We need to know how to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, and it goes right along with our value gas, because how you approach God is important. And do we approach him with our mouths open up in worship and praise and giving thanks and then asking him? He has everything we need. He says, you have not because you ask not. And so we want to ask him. And listen, if you leave here with hurts, if you came with struggles in your life, you came fighting some things and you leave with them, we want to know that you wanted to leave with them, not that you couldn't fix them here, because we want to create an atmosphere where you can lay them all at his feet.
Amen.
And that's happened for us today.
Amen.
With just the messages today, that happened. So if you leave here today and you still carrying those struggles and you're not getting the help, it's not because you hadn't been pointed in the right direction to do that. But that happened today just by the word. And remember, the word goes forth, that's all worship. And the one thing we never want to give up is that time of worship.
Yeah,
because
right.
Worship,
that's right,
is a choice, right? Worship is a choice. We ate from this tree just now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to continue to do.
Amen.
A non-worshipper is feeding flesh, and that's eating from that tree. We don't want to face that reality, but that's the fact.
That's
and so if we don't say it, then that behavior will continue.
Yes.
And there'll be non-worshippers. You could be on the same, you could be on the same property, doing the same function. And one's blessed and the other's not. It's because it's all about choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that you never, ever get to the point where you treat this that other than what God designed for it to be. When we're Sukkoting together, he gave us the example. And the word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. He pitched his tent. He dwelt among us. Look at the word dwelt. It means to pitch the tent. And so it's so important that we understand that. When we were putting these tents up, he was putting his up. He has the overall tent,
right,
encapsulating all the Sukkot tents around the world.
Amen.
And he was setting his up too, because it's an appointed time. And so God has to set his up. And so we're walking alongside of him doing the same thing. And so what an amazing God we serve. He's
Amen.
So good to us.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. So the schedule for tonight, Brother Scott's got tonight. And then the morning.